Hello and welcome to the Respiratory Inspirations podcast. I'm Raya Dwake, chairman of the Respiratory Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. This podcast series of short, digestible episodes is intended for patients and families and covers topics related to respiratory health and disease. My colleagues and I will be interviewing experts about timely and timeless topics in the areas of pulmonary, critical illness, sleep, infectious disease, and related disciplines. We will share with you information that will help you take better care of yourself and your loved ones. I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Respiratory Inspirations podcast. I am your guest host, Dr. Hassan Kouli, Chair of the Department of Critical Care Medicine in the Respiratory Institute at the Cleveland Clinic. My guests today are Dr. Umberto Choi and Dr. Simon Muka. Dr. Muka is the Director of the Medical Oncology ICU and a physician staff in the Department of Critical Care Medicine in the Respiratory Institute. Dr. Umberto Choi is the Associate Director of the Medical Oncology ICU and the Medical Director for the Critical Care Advanced Practice Providers in the Department of Critical Care Medicine in the Respiratory Institute. We will be talking about oncology ICU today. Umberto and Simon, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So we're going to actually, you know, right get into it and ask you to share with our audience here, what is a medical oncology ICU, Simon?
Yeah, so our medical oncology ICU is a 13-bed ICU that is situated within our large ICU here at the Cleveland Clinic main campus. Our ICU has 65 beds and can flex up to more beds if necessary, but this is a 13-bed unit that is dedicated to patients with active cancer that need ICU care during any part of their journey for their cancer care. It is staffed by a core group of physicians, nurses, pharmacists, advanced practice providers who have a particular interest and additional training in taking care of patients with cancer.
Thank you, Simon. That seems like a big team there that have been assembled to focus on the care of such patients there. So why take on all of these efforts to develop a program like this? Maybe you can share your thoughts about the why with our audience, please.
Of course. So a large portion of all ICU patients may carry a diagnosis of cancer. And cancer, or patients with cancer, especially those undergoing active treatment, they have complicated disease processes. Active cancer therapy is complex. It has complex complications. These patients require a dedicated team that really understand those unique care needs. And we realize that with the number of patients that we see in our ICU, that number of patients who have very specific care needs related to their ongoing cancer care is about 20% of all the patients. So that's a high number of patients that would really benefit from a really specialized team.
Thank you, Simon. So what I heard from you, really, I mean, a couple of interesting things about how patient-centric this is. The patient is really in the front, and the goals, the why behind it is how we can really take care of these patients in the best way we can, the most compassionate way we can, to deliver the desired outcome for them. So maybe you can share with us about, you know, that's in the same maybe concept of doing this, Simon, you know, what are the goals, you know, that you had in mind as you and the team worked on developing this unit?
The goals are, as for every unit in the Cleveland Clinic, is to provide the best care possible. And we recognize that, you know, oncology care in an ICU is complex. There are new treatments every day, and they make the field more effective, but also more complicated for those providers to try and to provide the best care. So our goal is to provide the teams an opportunity to collaborate, the intensivist or the ICU doctors working very closely with the oncologist, to develop expertise in our ICU that really our providers are at the forefront of what is medically possible in the realm of oncology, and develop and follow protocols specific for those patient needs.
Thank you. And you know, the other thing that I heard from you is how critical and important it is for the primary oncologist of the patient, you know, to continue to be engaged in their care, that physician or their partners to be really part of that team too. That is definitely reassuring to hear. Dr. Choi maybe can actually share with us a bit of a history of how we came about to launch this program at the Cleveland Clinic. Umberto?
Yeah, so Simon was saying there's a high number of patients who have a diagnosis of cancer who become ill and need to be in the ICU. And taking care of these patients can be complex. And I'll say in a more older way, it would be someone from oncology or the cancer team who would be working as a consultant and come into the ICU and talk to us. But there was a high volume of patients. They were often located in different places, being admitted in different places in the ICU. So actually, about 2 years ago or so, we started doing a meeting every day that we call Huddle, that someone from our team, from the ICU, would meet with one representative from the other teams, and then we would have a conversation and develop a common plan for our patients in the ICU. And I think we all saw the need for this to become one unit, one team, to make it easier for not only for the medical teams, but also for the patients. So then we developed this idea of having one dedicated unit, and we actually launched that in January this year, in 2023. And that's when we started cohorting, putting the patients who have a history of cancer, who need to be in the ICU, in one space. So they're taken care of by us, and when they need the expertise from the cancer team, the oncologists or the hematologists, they come to our unit, and then we communicate, we talk, and we develop a common plan. And I think it's very important for the patients, for the family, to see that the doctors are communicating and they are on the same page on the issues, so they see that they're getting the best care possible.
Thank you, Dr. Choi. Dr. Mukha, maybe you can expand a little bit on the team. Who's on that team and what do they really represent in the minds of our audience?
Yeah, we really realized that the benefit of this team is really the strength of all of its members. Like Dr. Choi mentioned earlier, we started with a virtual huddle where we met daily between the two teams, the ICU team and the oncology team, to make sure the care plans are clear. But it takes a team to translate this care plan into actual patient care. So it requires the physicians, of course, to develop the care plan. It requires specially trained nurses to make sure the care is executed at the bedside. It requires pharmacists that make sure all medications are dosed correctly, timed correctly, delivered on time, and it requires advanced practice providers, nurse practitioners, physician assistants to make sure we follow up on all orders and procedures, etc. It also requires coordination of extra services, such as the care coordination that our social workers provide, that you, for many cancer patients, start way before they ever require an admission to the hospital in the first place. So it really is a team of teams, or, you know, takes a village to take care of complex patients. And we really learned that it takes coordination of everybody to get things done. So it's a wider range of providers that we're trying to bring together at the same time.
It is interesting how you described it, Simon, a team of teams, which is a concept we have here at the Cleveland Clinic, and how this unit functions really and operates and has been developed to align with that vision, an important piece of how we deliver care here at the Cleveland Clinic and certainly in this medical ICU and in this oncology ICU. Thank you for sharing that. You know, Dr. Choi, you have faced a few challenges in probably as you cared for some complex patients before. The way you and Dr. Mukha described how this unit has evolved and developed and launched earlier this year, are there certain challenges you'd like to share with our audience as a lessons learned or just to be aware too, and maybe how, you know, we have been able to overcome some of these challenges too?
Yeah, we were just talking about team of teams, and I think this is one of the challenges, that it was not the ICU team and the cancer team. There was actually multiple teams that we were collaborating with. For example, in the oncology side, we have more than one solid oncology team. And on the hematology team, we have teams who take care of people who suffer from leukemia. Another team that works with patients with lymphoma, or another team, patients who had a bone marrow transplant, for example. So we are collaborating with all these different services. And on top of that, there are other subspecialties that collaborate with us. They have a very extensive experience in providing care for patients who are suffering from cancer. So working with all these teams at the same time, it can be a challenge, but I think we are very fortunate that this is at the Cleveland Clinic, and this is a project that had in mind to improve patient care. So we always have in mind patients first. And from the beginning, everyone was very interested and motivated. So in the end, this was like a challenge, but it was actually a very easy to overcome challenge just because of how everyone collaborated and how everyone was motivated and interested to be part of this and to help out. And another thing that comes to mind is really what we discussed before, that now there are so many newer therapies for cancer and for other bone marrow or blood disorders. And sometimes it can be difficult to stay up to date with all of those and understand what potential side effects someone can have from the therapies themselves. And that's the perfect match between us in the ICU doing what we know how to do best to take care of someone who is very sick and combine the expertise with the oncology and the hematology teams, because they are the ones who are working with these therapies and often prescribing them, so they have that expertise, so we combine those at the same time. And this is exactly one of the reasons why we developed this ICU, and we have a dedicated team that is committed to learning all of these new therapies and the best ways to take care of patients who are receiving the new treatments that are available nowadays.
That's wonderful. You know, you really leverage the strengths of the team and the concept of a team of teams at the Cleveland Clinic that is so embedded in what we do to overcome some of these challenges that face anyone. Thank you for sharing that, Umberto. Let's maybe shift to talk a little bit more about some specific things related. What type of patients we see in this medical oncology ICU? Maybe, Simon, we can start with you, and if you can share also like an example, a unique example of a case that puts it in perspective for our audience here.
Yeah, we really see patients either with a known diagnosis of cancer who need to be admitted to the ICU or the hospital for care that either is directly related to symptoms that stem from the cancer, or patients who are undergoing treatment and may experience toxicity or side effects from their treatment. So one example, for instance, would be someone who is diagnosed with leukemia, an aggressive form of blood cancer. They might receive chemotherapy that is designed to wipe out this cancer, but in the process places the patient at risk to have infections. It's called one of the common infections called neutropenic fever. Those patients can become very sick very quickly and require ICU care that requires both treatment both of the infection and ongoing care of their cancer. One of the newer groups of medications that we see quite frequently now in the ICU here and are often referred to us from other hospitals are patients who are being treated with novel therapies that use the immune system, so-called immunotherapy. Those are great medications that really revolutionized the world of oncology and changed the prognosis for many cancers, but they have unique side effects or toxicity, and they can sometimes be life-threatening. And they're new. We're learning how to recognize them and treat them, but they provide a unique challenge, and not everyone has good understanding as maybe our oncologists. So we see a lot of patients who are referred to us for those kind of admissions.
Yes, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. You know, we'll go back to Dr. Choi. What's special about this unit? What's unique in your mind that differentiates it from maybe other just general medical ICU or even some oncology units that exist in some of these oncology hospitals in the United States? Umberto?
So I think the ICU care can be similar in many ways to the care that someone might get from a general ICU. I don't think we are saying that a general ICU is a place that a patient with cancer shouldn't go. But there's certainly benefits of this kind of unit, and it's really about the team having the experience and expertise of taking care of patients who have unique needs, and in this case, patients who have a history of cancer, receiving treatment for cancer, or have maybe a blood disorder that can be an emergency. And when we're talking about experience, is really when there is a physician and or medical team that is seeing the same kind of cases all the time. And I think I always say that we are good at the things that we do every day. So when we have a team that is seeing this type of cases every day, that's how we become good at it. This is how we build expertise, and this is how we are able to recognize certain patterns that sometimes may not be so obvious in other places. But because here we are seeing every day, we are seeing all the time, at work, that becomes, I think, easier for us to recognize and to act on these things as soon as we find them. And I think it's very important for the patients and their families to see that the doctors are talking to each other, to see that the ICU team is talking to their cancer doctors and having a plan together at the same time. So they see that there is a collaboration among the medical teams. And I think that one of the benefits of being here at the Cleveland Clinic is, like, often when someone has a history of cancer, they might come to the ICU for something that is unrelated to that, might be something else. And then we have the resources of the entire Cleveland Clinic. So we have expertise in so many areas. I'll risk to say that in every area, and we have everything available to us, all these resources to take care of the patients and provide the best care possible.
Thank you, Umberto. You talked about experience and expertise and how important they are as a foundations to really provide the success and really help patients, in such complex, challenging diseases that they may have in oncology too. So I'll shift back to Dr. Mukha on this. And as you think about these experiences and expertise, we look for success. We want to optimize and really make, give the patients the best outcomes that they have. To do that, we often think about, well, how do we measure what we do? How do we really learn from what we do? What data we collect around that so we can continue to improve and possibly share with the world? So, Simon, maybe you can share with us what this data or these measures would look like?
Absolutely. And, I think one of the themes you've heard throughout the conversations today is this is a complex care with large teams that needs to be coordinated well and efficiently. And as we set off with the birth of this unit in January of this year, this was our first sort of marker of success. Can we develop our protocols, find patients, move them into the ICU, and deliver cancer-specific care safe and effectively for every single one of these patients? So we're really looking at sort of the process of care. Some examples of what we're monitoring and seeing some early success is making sure that cancer therapy and chemotherapy, which are really high-risk therapies, there's really no room for error. We're really aiming that these therapies are administered on time, every time, without errors and out complications. This is the first goal that we set for our team. And we're really excited to say that in the first 6 months, we've achieved that and had no errors, no complications, and we've really delivered as intended. And then we want to make sure we deliver all this care that we know makes overall outcomes better a particular focus for these patients. That includes hand hygiene for every provider who answers the door. Something as simple as washing your hands will prevent infections, preventing infections that are associated with catheters, either bladder catheters or central lines, et cetera. And I think in the next few months, these short-term or process-focused metrics will translate in outcomes that are important for patients. How long do I stay in the hospital? What's my functional status when I leave the ICU? But for now, I think we really focused on coordinating a large group of teams and providers, and we've learned a lot, and I think we've come a long way. And so far, I think we're looking forward to a bright future.
I'm looking forward with you too. You shared no errors and no complications in a complex environment like this. I'm going to knock on some wood, over here, but it's really not luck. It's that focus and deliberate teamwork that achieves this kind of impressive results as well. Congratulations to you and to the team. So as we talk about this, I'm sure there are a few cases that stand out in your mind, and there are probably many of them, but both of you, I want to maybe ask you, can you think of a quick case that you can share with our audience over here? Start with you, Dr. Mukha.
Yeah, as you said, there are many cases that are certainly memorable, and one just stands out from last week when I was in the ICU. It was a patient who was transferred to us from another surgical ICU that was initially admitted was thought to be a routine case of colon cancer that required a simple surgery. After surgery, I had a lot of challenges in abnormal blood work that is not really explained by the initial diagnosis of colon cancer. And then we quickly learned that it wasn't colon cancer. It was a rare type of lymphoma. The patient was transferred to us for ongoing care and was critically ill and really multi-system organ failure. But we were able to get the correct diagnosis, and although the patient was critically ill, our oncologists were able to develop a chemotherapy regimen that we were able to administer in the ICU. And while the patient is still quite ill, I'm happy to say that they're now off the ventilator, breathing on their own and talking. They're off all medications. I think the next step is trying to go on to rehab to regain some strength to go on with their cancer care, hopefully as an outpatient.
That's great. You know, as you tell the story, a bit of a chill goes through of the outcome of this patient and how, you know, amazing the team. Congratulations to you and to the team making a difference and influencing the outcome of this patient in a positive way too. So, Dr. Choi, any case that you can really share with our audience too?
Yeah, I recall a case that we worked on in the beginning when we were putting the dedicated unit together. So here at main campus, we often get transfers from other hospitals just because some resources may not be available. So we receive a call, someone who was in a different hospital, and they were suspecting that this patient to have a blood disorder that is often an emergency because of the complications that it can have. And this is something that it's, as I said, can be an emergency. So time is important. And making the diagnosis rapidly and giving the treatment as soon as possible is certainly important. So we certainly accepted the patient. And as we knew that the patient was coming in, we started contacting the blood bank, the hematologist, our procedure team to place a special catheter for the patient. So we did all that legwork before the patient got to us. And once the patient arrived, it was so beautiful to see that there was already a line of people outside the patient room just waiting to talk to him. It was the nurses to make their assessment, the ICU medical team, you know, waiting to see them, and behind them, the procedure team was already setting up the ultrasounds and getting ready to do a procedure for the patient. And the blood specialist, the hematologist, was already there as well, ready to talk to the patient as soon as everybody else was done. So it was just amazing to see that everything that we worked on was really happening live in front of us, that all that dedication and all that hard work paid off. You know, if it was just for one case, it was already all worth it. So I think it's a case that sticks to my mind just to see that all the workflow, everything that we worked on, it had worked so well for that patient.
Yeah, this is certainly beautiful, as you mentioned, you know, Umberto, and you know, you can think about a patient or a family who have gone through an experience like this, and how, you know, when they see a team that is so organized and with all the expertise that they have, how reassuring it is when you are in the middle of a, you know, really high intensity critical situation it is. So congratulations to you and to the team on really a work well done here. You know, let's conclude at this point, and maybe both of you can share with us, if I am a patient or a family who come to our ICU, the oncology ICU, what to expect if you or your loved one come to such an ICU there? So I'm going to start with you, Simon.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I would expect high-class care by compassionate experts, and I think if your care would require treatment in the ICU, I think that should go on seamlessly and be a seamless part of the continuum of the oncology care that you receive at the Cleveland Clinic, and a seamless experience where everyone collaborates effectively together as one team.
Thank you, Simon. And Umberto?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people, if not most people, know someone who has suffered from cancer. I certainly had my personal experience in my own family of someone being treated for cancer. And I know it can be a very scary moment. And because of the diagnosis, we always want everything to go well. We always want for us or our loved ones to receive the best treatment possible. And when someone comes to the ICU, it means that something happened, that something that was unexpected happened. And that can be even more scary in addition to the cancer itself. So I think what I would say that I think this is a unit that we thrive to understand what the unique needs of our patients are. It's a team that is dedicated to do the best they can. And I think I will reassure if someone or their loved one is in this ICU that they are getting the best care possible.
This concludes our program today. Thank you, Dr. Mukha and Dr. Choi. And thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast. I am your guest host, Dr. Hassan Kouli, Chair of the Department of Critical Care Medicine in the Cleveland Clinic. And my guests today were Dr. Simon Mukha, our Director of the Medical ICU, Oncology ICU, and Dr. Umberto Choi, the Associate Director of the Oncology ICU and the Medical Director of the Critical Care Advanced Practice Providers. Today, we talked about our Medical Oncology ICU. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Respiratory Inspirations podcast. For more stories and information from the Cleveland Clinic Respiratory Institute, you can follow me on Twitter at @RyanDwakeMD.